Hi everyone, welcome back to Global Voice. My name is Emily.
My name is Jeff.
And today we will be taking a look at the article called Turning Day into Night. So it's all about this big volcanic eruption. And the eruption that we'll be talking about was the biggest and most disastrous volcanic eruption in modern U.S. history in, like, the lower 48 states. And so this was the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens, which is a volcano in the Pacific Northwest that's around 80 kilometers northeast of Portland, Oregon, and around 154 kilometers south of Seattle, Washington. So this, you know, it was a huge eruption, but it was not a surprise to scientists, because there had been a lot of consistent activity before it erupted. But the scale and kind of destruction of the eruption was unprecedented. And so it really helped to develop the study of volcanoes, and it also motivated the government into becoming more serious about preparing their responses to these types of natural events and to volcanic eruptions. Since, you know, before maybe they thought, oh, like, this probably won't happen, a volcano erupting. Like, it's not going to happen. But this case kind of showed, yeah, it can happen. And if you're not prepared, then there can be some serious destruction involved. So this volcano, Mount St. Helens, is the youngest mountain in the Cascade Mountain Range and is a member of the Cascade Volcanic Arc, which is part of the Pacific Ring of Fire that has over 160 active volcanoes. So you've probably heard of the Ring of Fire before. It's, you know, all these volcanoes around the Pacific Ocean worldwide that are all connected, so they're called the Ring of Fire. And so Mount St. Helens is geologically young compared to the other mountains in the region, as it was formed around 40,000 years ago, and its summit cone, so the top, only actually began rising around 2,200 years ago. So it's pretty young, and it's the most active volcano in the Cascades within the last 10,000 years. So it's kind of a special case compared to other volcanoes in the area, and that's one of the reasons why it's been of particular interest to scientists. So before it erupted in 1980, it was the fifth highest mountain in Washington State at 2,950 meters, and it really stood out in the region because of its symmetry and this really beautiful snow-covered peak. And so some people even called it Mount Fuji of America, just because it was very iconic and very beautiful. So Mount St. Helens was dormant, so it was not active, it was asleep, as we sometimes say, from the 1840s and 50s until March 1980. So it was not really active for around 100 years. But in March 1980, there was a 4.2 magnitude earthquake underneath the northern part of the volcano. So this earthquake started this series of earthquake swarms that numbered to over 10,000, so a bunch of little earthquakes, some of them bigger than others. And so these kind of happened over the next 2 months, which triggered various smaller scale eruptions of ash, new craters opening up on the volcano, avalanches, and then even signs of moving magma, which is the molten volcanic material that is inside a volcano, and then once it exits the volcano, it's known as lava. So you've probably seen that before in pictures or movies or whatnot. And so the part of all of this, I mean, of course it was worrying, but the part that most worried scientists was a bulge that had formed on the northern side of the volcano, because it was expanding 1.5 meters a day, and so it was kind of this unstable place. And so the scientists, they were quite worried that a landslide from this bulge could trigger a large volcanic eruption. And so because of this, the scientists who were kind of on the case, they pressured the local authorities in the area to evacuate the area around Mount St. Helens and to close it down, to not let the usual campers and other people come and use it as a recreational area. And so in the next half, we'll talk more about the eruption itself. So this eruption happened on May 18th, 1980, and this was following a 5.2 magnitude earthquake. So the eruption was especially devastating on the natural landscape surrounding Mount St. Helens, you know, because there was, of course, these blasts, there was this thermal shock wave, there was ash falling, there were these huge volcanic mud flows. Basically, a lot was happening. So, of course, there was a lot of natural destruction around the volcano. But luckily enough, the death toll was only 57 people, not the hundreds or thousands it could have been if the local authorities hadn't listened to scientists. And so in recent years, it's become a place that a lot of ecologists have studied because of the way that wildlife has begun to grow back and kind of recover. And so if someone is studying how ecosystems recover, this is kind of the perfect place for them to do it, because you don't always get such a perfect example of how life comes back after a catastrophic event such as this. So, I mean, a lot of people have heard of this eruption. Had you heard of this eruption before?
I'd heard of it. I didn't know much about it. It's just something that I heard of as being part of, I guess, relatively recent U.S. history. It's the only eruption that I can think of in the lower 48 that I can think of that's happened even remotely recently. And so this was before my time, so it was not like I was watching this on the news or something. But I definitely heard of it. It seemed like kind of just this thing that happened before, and people kind of still remember it.
Yeah, I think it left a pretty big impression on the people who had experienced it. So, like, I'm from Washington State, I'm from Seattle, and so it's something that I grew up hearing about. You know, my parents were in high school then, and so they had their own memories of that time. Basically, you know, anyone who was around in 1980 and wasn't a baby or a very young child, like, they most likely have a memory of the events of this day, because, you know, it's not every day that a volcano erupts and, you know, sends all this ash around the state. It's a pretty impressive natural event. And so, like, I've been to Mount St. Helens. I've seen where, you know, basically there's this whole huge kind of crater off of the side of it, because a bunch of it collapsed with this big landslide, and then the eruption. So, yeah, it's just a place I've been a couple times, and it's definitely interesting to see the ecosystem around it. Like, there's still lakes that are just filled with trees that were toppled, and now they're kind of fossilizing. So, it's definitely, if you're ever in that area, an interesting place to check out, I think. Because it's not every day that there's a volcanic eruption, and, you know, it had such a big impact on the area. And, like, I remember in elementary school, it was kind of having a few more, like, mini eruptions. And so it was kind of exciting to watch on TV. You know, we'd watch it in class, like, oh, is it going to blow? But nothing too exciting happened. Just some small earthquakes and some ash, some activity, but nothing like this 1980 eruption. So let's take a look at the first half of our article, Turning Day into Night.